If you care to turn to the scripture that I'm going to try to speak a little bit about, it's found in the book of Galatians, chapter 4 and verse 4. Before I start that, I want to tell you what a thrill it is to me to be able to come up here almost every year that you are continuing to have this meeting. My heart rejoices in ways that I just don't hardly know how to explain. I am sad somewhat today because this is the first time I've ever been here without my dear companion of 67 years. But you know what? I'm happy for her. I'm happy to be here. And one of the things that I don't know if you're aware of or not, it says in the 3 John, I want to turn over that. It's not going to be my verse, but I want to read a verse here in verse 4 of chapter 1. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I want to say this morning, I'm almost at the end of my journey, and all of the children that God gave me and my wife is here in this meeting with us this morning. Isn't that a blessing?
Yeah.
And young children, I want to tell y'all, your mamas and daddies do so much for you. And you may wonder, well, what in the world can I do for them? Nothing better than to serve Almighty God with all your heart, amen, mind, and being. Now, in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, we read this, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. That just caught my attention. I've been preaching quite a bit at my home church lately about the circumstances around Jesus being born and all that went on and the miracles and everything that is so amazing. And I've read that here a couple of days ago, and the question just hit me, well, why did God have to do it all? After all, he's God. He could separate us. He could make us righteous. He could do away with us. We're his. He could do whatever he wants to. But you know, people that don't believe Ephesians chapter 1 that says God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world don't understand nothing about why God did anything for us poor sinners. It's because he made up his mind that he was going to have his children that he was going to choose in glory with him when all this was gone. And so, man, our father Adam, transgressed God's law, and in Adam, the scripture tells us, for as in Adam all die. We're born in the world in sin. That's the mystery of why we, that God chose, must be born again, is because our natural birth is not good enough to get us into glory. It don't matter how much money you leave or how big a house you live in or even how poor you may be. nothing in this world that we think or do or might do or talk about is going to be sufficient to get us back in glory where God chose us before He even made us. So there was a time that was set by the Lord. We wouldn't even have time if it wasn't for the power and the being of God. So the fullness of time came. In other words, in Acts it says of Christ, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. So I suppose that's the time that He's talking about. The fullness of time was come. God says, I am ready, and it's time for me to do something about all these people that I chose in Christ. So He was born in the world. Now I just want to briefly say this, that Christ represented humans that God gave Him from conception all the way till the last breath that they have. Some folks think nobody knows what I'm going through. Folks, Jesus knows everything that every one of us has gone through in our life. And He stood in our place, and because we received much of it because of the sin in our federal head, Adam, Jesus suffered for our sins to make us whole. So the fullness of time did come. It says God sent forth His Son. The angel come down and declared, that is conceived in thee is of the Holy Ghost. And He will come forth, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. He wouldn't try it, leave part of it to you, wouldn't look back in some book somewhere and find out where you would have, if you could have, do something. God sent Jesus in the world to save sinners, and He did that. If He didn't, we are just fooling ourselves. And He's going to be called Emmanuel, which it says is God with us. When you read about Jesus, think about Him being God with us. Well, why did He have to suffer? Well, if you look in the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews, while we're thinking about that, I believe that was where I had in the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And God had this idea. It says in verse 22, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. God has determined in His own power and in His own way that I'm not going to remove the sins of those people that I chose in Christ before the foundation of the world without some blood being shed. Well, that brings on a whole thing. And I think that's included in this 4th verse of the book of Galatians in chapter 4. Jesus Christ is the only blood that has ever been shed in this world that we live in that is sufficient to put sin away forever. But you know, you can look in your Bibles when you read and start off even with Adam after him and Eve was in a bad way in the garden and he had killed an animal and shed some blood that he might clothe them. So they got a blessing out of the shedding of the animal's blood then. But you know, there's something strange about God, and maybe some of these good brothers that follows me can help us understand that. But you know what? The first man that was born in the world killed his brother Abel. And God said a strange thing about that blood, that it cries up to me from the ground. So God looks at blood. Now I said Christ represents. We're living in a nation that I read an article the other day that there's more infants killed in the womb of a woman in this country than we have ever, ever lost in all the wars combined. Oh, God must be restraining himself now from destroying us completely. But you know what? I don't say just because somebody's a fetus in the womb or a baby in the arms that if they die there, they automatically go into heaven. That would just destroy the doctrine of election by choice. It would destroy it. But there's no doubt in my mind that some of them are. And I'll tell you, this shedding of blood had to reach those aborted children, the babies, the old folks. It just had to reach everyone that God chose in Christ. He says he's not going to lose nothing. He's not. He's not going to lose a single one. Now, we watched from Genesis right on up through the Old Testament. Especially when Solomon got to be king. He just slayed thousands of animals. And they practiced that for years and years. Bring animals without spot and without blemish. A type of better things, but a good animal. And a costly animal. But they never ever did, with the shedding of the blood of those animals, make the comers thereunto perfect. So it would be that man cannot save himself. He cannot bleed and save himself or do anything. It's so ridiculous about these people that's got an idea that they're getting closer to God by the flagging of themselves with whips and stuff like that. That's how warped mind is in this world. But now, it takes the shedding of blood. That's why this word says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son into the world, made of a woman, made under the law. He had a human body, but he did not have a human daddy. He was the Son of God with a body. Now, I've said this before because it made an impression on me. The sin nature for humans passes through the seed of the man. It doesn't pass through the seed of the woman. That's how God could make a man in the body of Mary and him be born forth into the world sin free. He had no natural father. Everybody argues about her being a virgin, but they gonna argue about everything against God. Mary was a virgin. And not only that, but until she delivered Jesus, even after they married, they did not come together as a husband and a wife according to the word of God. But then we do see that they had children after Jesus was born, which were his brothers. But now we've got a person in the world that doesn't have sin. But he did when he came into the world in that human body. He was born under the law. So then we look at the same man. We understand why he was sinless. And now we got to understand why he was born under the law. Every one of us breaks the law. I don't even think you can live without violating the law. But Jesus was born under the law. And you know, the scripture tells us that he kept it to a jot and to a tittle. Those of you that work with figures, that's right out there, isn't it? To a jot and to a tittle. He kept the law. He did not violate it. And when he come to the point to die, that's why that he had to bleed and die. When they crucified him and put him on the cross, we see the perfect sacrifice. We see the only sacrifice. We see our sacrifice hung there, bleeding and dying. And when he said, "It is finished," brothers and sisters and friends, if you was chosen in him before the foundation of the world, he died for you. And when he was buried and rose again, he rose for you. He is there now interceding between you and God. He's coming back to get you. And he's going to take you home with him. And you'll be there forever in glory. Amen. God bless you and keep you. I don't know if I'll ever be living when another one comes or not. But I hope you'll just keep it on till God comes back and gets us all. Thank you. Amen.